Come on, we've been delivered. I said we've been delivered. Come on, we've been delivered. I said we've been delivered. We've been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. The devil doesn't have any hold on us anymore.
Oh, I've been delivered.
Oh,
I've been delivered.
Yes,
the hold of the devil cannot be. He ain't got no more. I've been delivered. Oh, yes, I've been delivered. Yes, I have. I've been delivered by the hand of the Lord. Have you been delivered? Have you been delivered?
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. That old weary body is already feeling refreshed. Come on. That old tired spirit is drinking from the well of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the rest and the refreshing. My God, if you just let the Holy Ghost flow into your being, move through your soul, you're going to leave here tonight renewed, born again, saved. Hallelujah. My God. Praise God. I invite everyone that is here tonight that has never known Jesus in the power of the Holy Ghost. Put aside all your prejudice, all your traditions. You're not in a denominational church. We are not a denominational church. We're not a Protestant church. We're not protesting anything. Our roots don't go back as a protest against the Catholic Church. Our roots go back further than the Catholic Church. We go back to the book of Acts. We go all the way back to Acts 2. He said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. My God. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Lofton. My God. I'm feeling it here. I'm ready for our evangelists to preach. How about you? How about you? Everybody say, preach it, Brother Fraser. Come on, say it again. I believe he's ready. Come on, man of God. God bless you. Come on, let's put our hands together and let's clap to the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him right now. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I wonder tonight if you can remember what it felt like just before you felt the chains fall off of you. Can you remember what it felt like when God first touched that chain and it just started rattling just a little bit? Can you remember when you felt it? As the chains begin to fall off of your hands and your feet, and when that weight lifted off of your shoulder, the automatic response was to lift your hands. Can you remember when the chains loosed that tongue, when the Holy Ghost came on you, and the immediate response was with hands lifted? With a repentant heart, you begin to speak in a language you had never heard or learned in all of your life. Do you remember the feeling just before the Holy Ghost? I got a feeling on me tonight that's telling me that somebody, somebody in this house tonight, that's the way you're feeling right now. Friend, I've come to tell you the best part hadn't got here yet. It feels good now, but oh, you just wait until the chains come off of you and your hands go up and that tongue gets loose and you begin to speak in a heavenly language. Woo! Oh, let's lift our hands. Let's everybody praise Him together right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, we can do it better than that. Come on, the chains are gone. You're free to praise Him. We've been delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Woo, come on and praise Him. Give Him glory tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be in church tonight? If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, the 12th chapter. Book of John, chapter number 12 and verse number 31. I want to say as you're turning there tonight, I didn't know Brother Clark was going to make that appeal to you about knocking doors on Saturdays. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I've enjoyed many things at Austin Tabernacle. I have many beautiful and fond memories. But some of my very favorite memories are Saturday mornings, walking up and down the road, trying to keep up with Brother Trotman. If you've never had that experience, my, you ought to have it sometime. Some of my very favorite memories are knocking on doors on Saturdays, passing out flyers, putting them on the doorknob and turning and almost running, praying they didn't come to the door and you had to say something. But I want you to know something tonight. When we begin to pass out flyers and knock on doors, I'll watch with these two eyes, God, bring them in. Oh, was it the ones you knocked on their door? As far as I remember, Brother Clark, there was one. And she's here tonight. But when we begin to go out and we knock those doors, God knew were those that were lost and hungry, and He brought them in. That's just free advertisement. If you're not involved yet, you ought to get involved. And it'll be some of the, I promise you, the very best memories you'll ever have in all of your life. To know that you, not because of who you are, but because of Him, He used you to make the difference in somebody's life. And one day on streets of gold, they'll look at you, hug your neck, and say, thank you. Thank you for knocking on my door, making sure I was ready. Don't you want to take somebody to heaven with you? This is too good to keep all to ourselves. Hey, we're on our way to 100 soul revival. I'm anxious. I'm excited. I want everybody to get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. John chapter 12 tonight, verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I also want to turn your attention to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Acts chapter number 2. And I want to begin to read in the 36th verse. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and an explanation of the phenomena that was taking place. And I've just picked up the end of it here tonight. He pointed the finger at them and said, the one you crucified, he was your Messiah. He was both Lord and Christ that died on the cross. It was God manifest in the flesh that you put on the cross. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Our Messiah has died on a cross. The Savior has come. Now tell me, what shall we do? James, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse tonight. Just one last reading of Scripture. Thank you for your patience. James chapter number 4, verse number 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. They turned to Peter and they said, what shall we do? And James said, when you know what to do and you don't do it, it's sin. He didn't say the things that you do are sin. He said it's the things that you don't do that are become sin. And with the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach to you what the Holy Ghost has given to me for this service tonight. Now I want to preach tonight on this thought of when doing nothing. When doing nothing becomes a sin. When doing nothing becomes a sin. I want Brother Clark to come and pray. I want everybody to pray. Let's close our eyes and lift our hands. Let's pray the Lord would have His way here tonight. Dear God, across the city right now, there's much activity that is going on. The restaurants are full and bustling. People are working. Families are at home. Children are playing. My God, there is nothing in this metroplex right now that is going on that is more important than what's about to go forth from this pulpit right now. God, these are life-saving words. My Lord, as they come from the lips of Brother Frazier, anoint them in power. Touch the church. Let great conviction, God, that we've been feeling night after night continue. It is heavy here even now. Lord, let us give our attention completely to You and to a move of the Holy Ghost. Move upon everyone that is gathered here tonight. I'm asking, oh God, give us such an outpouring tonight that everyone will go home rejoicing, saying not one soul was lost. They were all found. You filled every one of them. They were all born again. My God, we join with this pulpit. We join with this preacher. We unite hands together in the mighty name of Jesus for a great end time revival. Church, would you clap your hands to the Lord? Would you praise Him for what we feel right now? Come on, do it. Do it in the name of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Come on. Say it like you mean it now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. And you may be seated tonight. I read a billboard a few days ago as I was going through Houston. And the billboard said that it's not your fault, but it is your problem. The billboard was an advertisement for a drug and an alcohol dependency center where alcoholics could go and dry out and the drug addict could go and free themselves or themselves of the drugs that they were using. The billboard caught my attention because it said it's not your fault. You didn't do it to them, but yet it is your problem. And because of the world and the situation of the world tonight, it's not our fault tonight that an alcoholic is on skid row. It's not our fault tonight that a home is broken apart and divorced. It's not our fault tonight that somewhere somebody is going to become a drug addict tonight. It's not our fault that somewhere, as we are in this sanctuary tonight, somebody's going to die while we're in service tonight, and many more than one. Oh, it's not your fault, and it's not my fault, but yet it is our problem. And there is a responsibility upon you and I to do something for our world. If there's just a feeling about it. If I knew what to do, I'd do something. I didn't make them do this. I didn't make them choose that way. But I live here. It's my responsibility to help them. I want you to understand what I'm saying tonight. Thousands multiplied thousands of years ago. There was a lady named Eve that partook of a fruit that was forbidden.
and her husband Adam followed her. Oh, it was not my fault. I was not there. I didn't have anything to do with it. But through their transgression, their inner sin into this world, and even though it wasn't my fault, it's my problem. Even though I didn't do it then, it's my problem today. And there is no way that I can idly sit by and let the world have its way with me. There's something I've got to do. It's not my fault, but it's my problem. I must make sure it doesn't get a hold of me. I read into your hearing tonight from John the 12th chapter. Jesus said, when I go to Calvary, when I go to that cross, He said three very powerful things are going to take place. He said this world is going to be judged. It's going to be brought to a decision. He said the prince of the power of the air, he's going to be cast out and his power is going to be destroyed. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. He did not stutter. He didn't say maybe. But he said, when I go to that cross, you're going to have to decide. The devil has no chance. And I'm going to draw. There's going to be my spirit that's going to reach to every corner of the earth and draw them and move them, bring them to me. Oh, we didn't realize, or they did not realize the significance of it immediately. To Pilate, Calvary was just another official duty that was aggravated by the dreams of his wife. To Mary, the mother of Jesus, it was the lifeless body of a son that really and truly she never understood and never really got to enjoy knowing him. To the Apostle John, it was his beloved teacher that had lived and now was dying upon a cross. To Peter, the one that stood afar off, he stood with his head held low, ashamed and afraid, helpless and bitter because he had not done more and he had not stood up to his end of the bargain. The soldiers that stood there, it was just another day's work for them. They didn't realize who it was that was on that tree. And to the Jews that stood around and laughed and mocked and jeered, really they were just spectators. They were just pawns in a game that they did not understand. Nobody that afternoon, I am convinced, really understood the significance of Jesus Christ dying on a cross. Many of them shook their heads and said, my, what a sad ending for this life. Why did it have to be this way? He could have been a carpenter. He could have made something good out of his life. But friend, I want you to know something tonight. Calvary was more than just a sad ending to a misunderstood life. Friend, Calvary was the greatest work that mankind has ever known. It was more than just a man. I want to tell you tonight that he was a spotless lamb that was without spot, that paid the price for me and for you with his life and his blood. That precious blood was shed for the sins of many. When he got to that cross, the stripes were placed upon his back, not for his own healing, but for mine. He didn't do it for himself, but he did it for me. The chastisement of my peace and yours was on him. Not for his own peace, but for ours. He bore your shame and he bore mine. He bore our grief. He carried our sorrows. At Calvary, he was literally wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. You know, sometimes we look at the cross, and if we could really see it, I would imagine that we would feel differently than we do. But we think that's all that Jesus did was stretch himself out and die upon a cross. But I want you to know he lived a life of the cross. For the Bible said he became poor and he stripped himself of all of his reputation and all of his glory and all of his majesty, that he could come to this world and be found in fashion as a man, and humble himself to be a servant, and to go the way of the cross and to die. Jesus was a man with a mission. He had come for one reason, to die on a cross. They didn't understand it. They didn't know why he did it. What they did not understand and what they could not see is that as that head dropped and as he issued his last words, "It's finished! It's over! I can't hold on anymore!" And they watched him as breath exploded out of that body and his head dropped and it was over. Friend, I'm telling you, a shudder went through the crowd that day because the earth began to tremble and the sky turned black and the clouds began to roll and the graves opened up and the saints came out and marched in the streets. They didn't understand it. Mary was at her worst when she saw Jesus die on that cross. But oh, what they could not see. Yes, there was a body that had no life, but there was a spirit that could not be contained and that could not die. But he was looking far away into a city that he couldn't go to without a body. That's the reason that body died. So the door to hell would swing open and the Spirit of the living God would march into that place. That's the only way he could get there. And they wept and they cried because the body was dead. But there was a Spirit of the living God. And he marched into the gates of hell and he came out singing a song. "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Woo! It's not a doomsday message, but it's power in his name. Somebody stand to your feet and lift your hands and praise him. Woo! My God, have mercy. Linda, you feeling what I'm feeling right now? Then when he come back out of that grave, no longer was it impossible to live holy and to live pure and to go to heaven. But he come out saying, "I have all power in heaven and in earth." Friend, it used to be impossible to live holy. You couldn't live holy. You had no holiness. You couldn't go to heaven. There was no way. But there came a man. And he went to a cross. And he went all the way to hell. My Lord, I wish I had an hour to preach tonight, but I won't do it, I promise you. But friend, when it come out, it didn't come out alone. The Bible said it come out leading the parade. And they were waving by to hell, saying, "Devil, we've been here long enough. Don't look for us anymore, because we won't be coming back. I got a message for the devil tonight. You better look at me good now, because one of these days, I'm leaving this world, and I ain't coming back, and I refuse to go to hell because of Calvary." That's why you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, because his blood was shed. Hallelujah, you may be seated. I'm telling you, Paul said, to the Jews it's a stumbling block, they don't understand it. To the Greeks it's foolishness, it makes no sense. But he said, unto the saved, it is the power of the living God. You know why? Because I can stand here tonight and say, tomorrow I'm going to be living for God. How do you know you're going to live for God, preacher? Because when he rose from that grave, he let me know that greater is he that lives in you than he that is in the world. And I can do all things through him which strengthens me. You're looking at a preacher, "I ain't going to hell. I ain't going to hell because of Calvary." I'm telling you, you may be seated. It's the most powerful message in all the Bible. Calvary. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what was going on. But oh my, my, my. Were they ever more going to find out? That's the reason, and I want you to hear me. You cannot ignore the cross of Calvary. I don't believe it, preacher. I'm sorry, but you can't ignore it. Oh, I don't want to hear about it. I'm sorry. It's already happened. And Jesus said, when I go to that cross, I'm going to bring this world to a decision. You're going to have to decide. Are you going to be on my side? Or are you going on the other side? Are you going to go to heaven? Or are you going to go to hell? But I want you to hear me tonight. You don't have any choice. You got to decide. Because he went to Calvary and he spilled his blood and he gave his life. And he said, if I go, I'm going to bring you to a decision. And you will decide. But he didn't stop with just that decision. He said, when I go to Calvary, the devil, his power, it's going to be destroyed. I'm telling you, don't you tell me tonight you've got an excuse. I'm going to be so bold as to tell you, you don't have one excuse to go to hell. Oh, preacher, you don't know the power of alcohol. I don't have to know the power of alcohol. I know the power of the man Christ Jesus. And he is greater. I said he's greater. I said he's greater than a bottle. He's greater than a drug. He's greater than any sin. He's greater than any power. He is greater. Somebody shout hallelujah. Friend, don't tell me you can't go to heaven. He said, when I go to the cross, I'm going to bring down the very gates of hell. He said, the power of Satan is going to be destroyed. He said, when I go to that cross, I'm going to draw all men. I'm going to bring them. That's the reason you go to work every day and you come home feeling unfulfilled. That's the reason you walk through the world knowing something's missing. What is it? Because from Calvary comes a drawing. Oh, ye that are weary, heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. I want you to hear me tonight, and I hasten on. The Jews basically were innocent bystanders, if you will. They didn't really know who Jesus was. It was the Pharisees, the Sadducees that hated him and sought to slay him. The normal Jew really was just caught in the middle. They enjoyed his soothing words of his ministry. They received the benefits of his miracles. Part of them were in the 5,000 that were fed. Their 10 folks were healed. Many of them were raised back to life. But the Bible said that even though he did many miracles, yet they believed not on him. Basically, they were just noncommittal. They were there, but they weren't doing anything. They were just pawns in a game, if you will. The crowd at Jerusalem really was stirred up by just a handful of folks that made their way through the crowd, and he'll crucify him, crucify him. And it spread like wildfire, and they all begin to scream, crucify him, crucify him. That's why Jesus looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But yet in Acts chapter 2, I find Peter pointing the finger. And he said, you have crucified him that is both Lord and Christ. You're the one that's guilty. You put him on the cross. And they said, what shall we do? He went to the cross. He died for me. And tell me, preacher, what shall we do? I've come to tell somebody tonight. You're in this building and basically you're just non-committed. You're not doing anything, and that's the problem. You're telling me tonight, oh preacher, I'm not doing anything, I'm all right. But Jesus sent me to tell you tonight, you can't ignore the cross. You can try to push it away. You can try to drown it out, but it's going to be there. And he's going to draw you and draw you and draw you. But you hear me in the Holy Ghost. You're going to make that turn. And you're doing nothing. Literally becomes a sin. Because Peter pointed the finger at them. And said, you're the one. You did it. You're the sinner. Oh, preacher, it's not my fault. I wasn't there when they crucified him. Oh, no. But it is your problem. What are you going to do with this man, Jesus? He died on a cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He sent back his spirit for you. And you sit in this apostolic service with your hands folded, doing nothing. Saying, I'm all right. Leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. But that is going to become your sin. When doing nothing becomes a sin. I wish I had some fancy way to end this tonight, but this is all the Lord has told me. That you'd be here tonight reasoning with yourself. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm all right. And that's the whole problem, sir. You're doing nothing when Jesus is calling. You're standing with arms folded when Jesus is drawing. And Jesus said, when you refuse to move, when you won't be drawn, your nothingness becomes a sin. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I want you to reach over and take your neighbor by the hand. I want you to pray for him. Come on, I'm talking to you, sir. Mind. I'm not doing anything. I'm all right. But oh no, friend. You're here tonight by divine providence because Jesus wants you to know your nothingness has become a sin before God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. When you know where to go and you know where to run and you refuse to walk, you're sin. Come on, church, pray with me in closing right now. Come on, pray with me in closing right now. Come on, pray with me tonight. When these Jews realize their guilt, when they realize He died for me, He shed His blood for me, He loves me. They looked at Peter and they said, what shall we do about this Calvary? We put Him there. He went there for me. Now what can I do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you do nothing, when He calls you, it becomes a sin. Oh, preacher, what can I do? You can get up from where you are. You can do what they did. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. And you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I've got to give you a word of caution in the Holy Ghost. If you refuse and do nothing with this message, your nothing becomes your sin when He calls. Sister Clark, singing this church is praying. I'm opening this altar. Anybody want to step out of that nothingness and say, God, You died on that cross for me. You died for me, God. I don't have to go to hell. You went there just for me. And the Bible said He draws. He calls. Buddy, that's what you've been feeling. You've been feeling God draw you to Calvary. You've been feeling Him draw you for a long time. Why don't you step up to where you are and say, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming, Jesus. God bless you, buddy. Somebody's coming home. Anybody else? Come on, nobody looking, every head down, every eye closed. Are you praying with me tonight, church? Are you coming? Are you going to sit there and do nothing? Are you going to let your response become a sin?
Oh, how
you can say you don't believe it. You can turn a deaf ear to this preacher and say, no, I don't want to believe it, but I'm sorry. It happened, and He's calling. And now you must decide.
Oh, how
are you coming? Are you coming? Come on, church, please pray. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost calling somebody. Come on, brother. You know the Lord's talked to you tonight. Oh, but preacher, I haven't been doing anything. That's the whole problem. God's been calling and you've been sitting back. Come on, you're nothing's becoming a sin. Are you coming? Come on. Come on, church, pray. I believe there's a battle going on right now. You're trying to decide, what am I going to do? What you going to do with tires in hell? What you going to do with that cross? Come on, everybody in this building, stand to your feet. I want us all to lift our hands. I want us to thank Him for Calvary right now. Come on, would you lift your hands? Come on, somebody ought to be coming to this altar. Come on, sir. You're going to stand there and do nothing. And it's going to become a sin. Not by what you're doing, by what you're not doing. Come on, I'm talking to you. Would you come? God's calling. Would you come? There's a great Holy Ghost revival going on. You're either going to be a part of it, or it's going to pass you by. You're deciding right now. Church, I tell you how we ought to close this service. I want you to go find you somebody and take them by the hand and say, come on, let's you and I go to Calvary tonight. Let you and I take a trip to Calvary. Come on, friend. He died for you. Everybody, come on. Church, here's where I need you to help me. Come on, be a friend to somebody and say, come on, let you and I go to an altar. Let you and I go to an altar. Let you and I go to an altar. Come on, church, are you coming? Come on, from the front row to the back, let everybody come. Mister, you come with us. Mister, you come with us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.
He loves you.
When doing nothing becomes a sin. If you leave here tonight without responding to God, you're going to see Him before the Lord. Come on, church, look around. Find you somebody to pray for. Come on, ladies, look around. You'll find you somebody to pray for. Put an arm around somebody's shoulder and say, let's me and you go to Calvary. He loves you too much to let you be lost. He loves you too much to let you be lost. All over this building, reach over and take your neighbor by the hand and pray with them right now. Come on, go find them. Pray for them right now.
He gave His life for love, so that I might live. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you. Never leave me out. He will always
He's the one who cares.
Thank you.
Come on, church, all over this building, let's lift our hands. Come on, there's a struggle going on in the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's help somebody cross over. Let's help somebody breathe free. Come on, close your eyes and lift your hands. Worship the Lord with me tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.